I look out there tonight, and it's good to see Earl here tonight. He's been through a lot, and I thank God that he's here with us tonight, and I rejoice in that. If you'll take your Bibles for some time tonight, we'll want you just to get some ideas and thoughts as we turn our hearts to the Lord's Supper. Would you turn to 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, if you will, please. There are some thoughts that I wish to share with you before we have of the Lord's Supper tonight. I know of nothing more serious than that. Or matter of fact, you ready for this? You don't have to be totally right when you get baptized. You may have, but brother, you want to be right when you take the Lord's Supper. Very serious situation. As we look at this chapter, I think, first of all, the place for the Lord's Supper. There's a phrase mentioned in verse 17, verse 18. Look at it. First of all, when you come together in the church. This is an ordinance of the church. It's one of two ordinances, is the Lord's Supper. And I want to be dogmatic, although I will tell you right now, you examine yourself. Don't examine anybody else. But I believe that baptism always precedes the Lord's Supper. Union comes before communion, and communion is the Lord's Supper. And I oftentimes hear people will come to me and will say to me, can little Johnny or little Susie have the Lord's Supper? And I will ask, well, I don't remember them being baptized. Well, you know, they don't understand it. You just baptize by obedience. You better just do because it's the thing to do. But the Lord's Supper is a little more serious in the sense it's a time of examination. So keep that in mind. Notice also here, there was some problems in that. It's interesting to me that God chose 1 Corinthians, the Corinthian church, to talk about the Lord's Supper. I don't know of another church that would be more carnal in the Bible than the Corinthian church. Matter of fact, when I was in California, there was called the Corinthian Apartments. I don't know if that guy knew the Bible or not who named him, but I was often wondering what was going on in the Corinthian apartments that was certainly given that name. And you come to this chapter here, and I hope that as we think about this, we find in verse 18 of chapter 11, and the problems in that church concerning the Lord's Supper. And so Paul was very careful to remind them of things that were wrong. And may I say to you tonight, if any of these things fit, get it taken care of. It says in verse 18, I hear there be divisions among you. It was a divided church. The word division comes from the Greek word schisma, which means there was lack of unity. You know, one thing that I have no hesitation of conducting the Lord's Supper tonight is that I do not believe we have hardly any disunity here. I can't examine your heart. But as I've sat up here in the pew, in the chair up here looking at the pews, as I preach the Word of God, I sense a spirit of unity. You ought to be rejoicing with great praise for that unity. Doesn't mean that there may not be. But the idea of a schism means to tear apart what God has put together. It is a word which if you take time, not tonight, in Matthew 27, in verse 21, when the veil was separated, was torn apart, that was the word that was used there. It literally means to rip apart. And we know that divisions in the church can rip the church apart. I pray tonight there is nothing in your heart that would want to hurt this church tonight. Nothing in your heart that would hurt anyone here tonight. I pray there would be no divisions. There were also discrimination. Look there at 19 and 20. For there must be also heresies. Now that's among you. Now when you and I think of heresies, we automatically think of false doctrine. Oh, this church was saturated with false doctrine. Some even questioned the resurrection. That's why 1 Corinthians 15 was written. Can you imagine having a church that was not sure whether or not the resurrection was going to take place? I can't conceive of that one. I appreciate the meeting we had tonight and Brother Wade, without a tie, but he has one on tonight for the Lord's Supper. Isn't that great? He has a tie on tonight for the Lord's Supper. I like picking on our deacons. They're great guys. But Wade is not the kind to get mad or get even. He'll get ahead some way. But he was dealing here with things there tonight. It was a tremendous meeting, and I thought about how good that meeting was, and I saw watch folks sort of put it together. The word heresy means having a party spirit. It means to have cliques. We don't have cliques in this church. And all God's people said, we ain't got none no how. And we don't want them either. I've watched such unity as I've worked with this Board of Deacons and Pulpit Committee. I'm thankful for that, to say that I see no cliques. And don't you start to form one. Because here there was heresies, party spirit, in which there were those who discriminated against the poor. And we find over there, that's exactly what took place. If you read down for verse 19, for there must be also heresies among they which approve may be made manifest among you. When you come together, therefore, into one place, that is not to eat the Lord's Supper, for in eating everyone taketh before other his own supper, and one is hungry, and another is what? Drunken. Whew. What sins were there in that church? That's why you need to examine yourself tonight. You say, well, I don't get drunk. No, but if you get bitter, that may be just as bad, if not worse. And so we need to examine ourselves. And so we see here these things. We see that there was problems in that church. There was not only the place for the Lord's Supper, it must be the church. You just can't go out here somewhere and have the Lord's Supper. That's the church, his ordinance. We must see that. We must understand the divisions. I remember one of the ministries that I dealt with in the interim, and they were about ready to have the Lord's Supper, and I said, I advise you not to do this, not at this time. They were too divided. And that part is a mistake, a mistake. Then think with me in preparation for the Lord's Supper for a few moments. I think of three thoughts here: retrospect, prospect, and introspect. That's what I see in this passage. Look here in verse 23, as look at verse 11. You move on down here. He says, for I received the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he gave thanks, he broke it and gave it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do, so you see the word there? Underline it. That is retrospect, remembrance. We're looking back to Calvary tonight. Now there are some, such as the Roman Catholics, they practice what you call transubstantiation. They believe that when you take of that bread and when you take of that juice tonight, it literally turns into the body and blood of Jesus Christ. Now that's heresy. That's crucifying him again fresh. We're doing it in remembrance. You have the Lutherans who have consubstantiation. Somehow they believe there's a miraculous happening. I'm not sure what it is. Martin Luther could never really explain it to where it was satisfactory, that it was just miraculous. I don't know where you got the juice. I don't know where you got the bread. Could have been Food King or some other place. And those places are not necessarily holy. I'm not against them, but let's face it, folks. We're talking about holiness tonight. By the way, this is gluten-free. Is that what I was to say? Yeah, we don't want you to get sick tonight, because the Bible says any sickly among you, we don't want to be the cause of that. Okay? All right. Not only retrospect, but prospect. Look there in verse 26. For as often you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. You know, one day there be no taking of the Lord's Supper. Won't be. Isn't that great? We'll see him face to face, the prospects. And there's no set time that you take the Lord's Supper. As often as you as a church decide to take the Lord's Supper. There are some who do it every Sunday. To me, I think that's too often. It becomes a ritual instead of a reality, but that's not my business. But also keep in mind, there'll be a time when it won't do it because the Lord's coming back. I'm thinking of preaching some Sunday nights on prophecy. Several have asked me to do that. I'm praying about that, but I'm looking forward to the Lord's coming. Man, I'm excited about that. And so here is not only the retrospect, the prospect. We are doing it until he comes. Then there's the introspect. All now we deal with what's going inside of us. Note here in verse 27, contemplation. Verse 27, whosoever therefore shall eat this bread and drink the cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. Unworthy, without proper preparation, is what that word means. Properly preparing. Now, I would suggest to you that you do that before you take of the Lord's Supper. Matter of fact, I think today should have been a time that we should just say, Lil, we're taking the Lord's Supper tonight. Lord, is anything in my life that needs to be taken care of? That's contemplation. And then notice in verse 28 and 28, so as we have this not only retrospect and prospect, this introspective contemplation, there is examination. Examination. Look there in verse 28. But let a man, and that's meaning women too, examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of the cup. Let him examine. You don't examine your neighbor next to you. You examine your own heart to see if you're fit. Often I have thought of you deacons as you might pass the cup, how easy it would be to say to yourself, I'm not too sure that person should really take of that Lord's Supper. I know some things. That's none of your business. Forgive me, but that's none of your business. That's the Lord's business. And you and I are to examine ourselves of our spiritual state, where we are right with God or not. We're going to take a moment here in a few moments to just do just that. Don't examine anyone else. The idea of examining here has with it a strong thought here of just taking a look at your life and your heart. What's going on inside of it? And then preparation. Preparation. So you have this introspect as you look at yourself, you're contemplating. Without proper preparation, that means you could be guilty. Examination, not the neighbor next to you, but yourself. Preparation, look here in verse 31 and 32. I don't know how many times before I read this verse, as serving a pastor, I've had to say, Lord, how the Lord brings things up? You think everything is right, and all of a sudden the Holy Ghost just brings something up, and I've had to stop and make that right. He says, For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. The word damnation here is a word means certainly to receive punishment, chastisement from God. But you know, I like this. I want you to see this tonight. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep, many die. But look at verse 31. That ought to be highlighted in your Bible. For if we would judge ourselves, we shall not be judged. Wow. Think upon that one. You need to meditate even as you leave here tonight to think the fact that I can escape the chastisement of God if I take care of him myself. And if I don't take care of him myself, God will take care of them for me. It's the idea of that thought there tonight. And so I beg you to do this. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, verse 32, that we should not be condemned with the world. We're different, folks. Boy, I thank God for the chastisement that he has placed in my life so many times. I have to be honest with you. God has beaten me up, I can't tell you how many times in my life. And you know, a few times I've tried to justify what I was doing wrong. Do you ever try to do that? That's called the doctrine of stupidity. God, through his Spirit, would not let me get away with that. And so I'm thankful tonight for that contemplation, that examination, and preparation. Confess, not to each other, but to him. I want you just to bow your heads. We're not going to have an invitation as such. We're going to get ready for the Lord's Supper. But would you take a few moments, a little time tonight, introspect. Just meet with God for a few moments tonight before we have the Lord's Supper. If you're through with that, you may look up here and give me some instructions before we take of the Lord's Supper tonight. Now, let me say, first of all, that if you're not saved tonight, this is something you don't want to do, to take of the Lord's Supper. Just pass it by. Some people come the idea, this would make me closer to the Lord. Can I emphatically say no? You get close to the Lord before you take it. Secondly, if you're here and you're not right with the Lord, just pass it up. But I hope when you bowed your head, you said, oh God, it's great to be right with God. It's great to be right with him. If there's children here, particularly juniors on down, this is a decision your parents should make and not you alone. They should decide whether or not, or the person who brought you, whether or not you should take of the Lord's Supper. You say, but I want the juice. I want that cracker or whatever it is. See, that's not what it's all about. So please, parents, that's your decision, not anybody else, whether you want your children to take of the Lord's Supper. You see, you're the parent. You'll make that decision for them. So we're going to get ready now for the Lord's Supper. So I'm coming down with you. Isn't it great to all be on the same level when we take the Lord's Supper? Few men will rise at this time, please. Appreciate our deacons. Thank the Lord for each one tonight. And as we look back again at chapter 11, let's begin again in verse 23. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for remembrance of me. Now, the bread was unleavened. Why? Because leaven is symbolic of sin. I had somebody one day say to me, well, then, how come we don't use real wine? Because that's leaven. That's fermentation. And it cannot be with that. Amen? It's got to be. He took our sins. He became sin for us. But he himself was pure going into that tremendous responsibility. And so I'm glad. And when you get the bread, just, we're going to, listen, this is unity. You don't eat it separately. We all eat it the same time. Amen? I'm going to ask Bobby Brown to ask God's blessing on the bread. And then we will pass the elements to them, and they will pass it to you.
Lord, I pray that as we partake, we have searched our souls, and we have said, Lord, this is the time that we want to come before you, humbly asking for you and acknowledging you of all of the greatness, the wisdom, and what you did for us on the cross. Lord, we thank you as we remember this, and we pray your blessing on it. Amen.
When you get the bread, be sure that you wait until we can eat it together in unity. Go ahead and fulfill your responsibility. moment, we're going to ask Steve. All right, excuse me. That's later. I apologize. He's going to pray over the cup for us. We're eating this tonight, looking back to what he did on Calvary. If there was anyone who did not get served, if you'll raise your hand, we don't want to miss anyone that wanted to be served. We're okay. Let's eat together. Men will stand. And after the same manner, also, he took the cup. And we know from Matthew, Mark, Luke, it was fruit of the vine. There can be no substitute for that on the vine. The Bible says again, saying, the cup is a new testament in my blood. This do as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. Hallelujah. He hasn't forgot us, so let us remember him. Steve, would you ask God's blessing on the cup?
Our most gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you so for that shed blood. God, we can look back in the Bible from the front page to the last, that ribbon of blood
Hallelujah.
That runs through the Word. God, it runs to that cross where the ground is level for all believers. Mm. And God, we just think of that day and that precious blood that was shed and was accepted by you in heaven for all mankind's sin. Mm. What a powerful, powerful blood that it is.
Yes, hallelujah.
And God, we thank you for that. We praise your high and holy name for what you did that day on that cross. Mm. That just levels the ground for all of us. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen.
We're all served, and then we will drink together. Amen. drinking it until he comes. Shall we drink? Over in Matthew, the 26th chapter, after they instituted the Lord's Supper, before they dismissed, they sang a hymn. We're going to do that. How about Amazing Grace? Because that's what it's all about, Amazing Grace. And then I want you to, you had a meeting tonight at 4 o'clock, 4:30, whenever it was. I want you to really pray tonight for our deacons. God to give them wisdom, understanding. If there's ever a group of people that need to be totally right with the Lord at all times, at these fellows and their families. It's an awesome fear, responsibility they have. So before tonight, any of them leave, you take a moment. Pick a deacon or two and tell them you're praying for them. They got to be right with the Lord. The whole church is at stake in the ministry of the Lord. You say, you're trying to put fear in us? Yeah. Holy fear. That's okay to have. Holy fear. Daniel, you're going to lead us in that? Let's all stand together. Before you leave, some of you, come on down and let these deacons know you're going to pray for them. Amen?
Bright shine.